When climbers finally decide to take on the holy grail of all ascents, Everest, they first face a 9-day journey to base camp, which includes 2 full days of rest. This journey alone weeds out about 30% of explorers. Those who are lucky enough to make the arduous trek to the first staging post are then faced with Mount Everest growing ever upwards into the clouds before them. Well, my fine friends, I finally made it to base camp, and I'm staring up at my own personal Everest, relishing the challenge ahead, and looking forward to finding my own place among the wildflowers. Welcome to episode 0 of season 10 of the Tom Petty Project podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Brown. This is the weekly podcast that digs into the entire Tom Petty catalogue, song by song, album by album, and includes conversations with musicians, fans, and people connected with Tom along the way. Rather than digging straight into the first track from Wildflowers, I wanted to record this introductory episode to kick off season 10 of the podcast. I've talked plenty in the past on different episodes and probably at least a couple of guest shows about why I started the Tom Petty Project in the first place. What I don't know if I've ever mentioned, though, is that I'm fairly sure I wanted to do this podcast, at least in part, maybe in large part, just to have an excuse to talk about this album. You'll be perfectly entitled to ask, why not just do a podcast about Wildflowers then, rather than working through the 9 albums that came before it? Well, I do remember thinking that starting in the middle of the discography would be slightly weird, and that covering the other albums would probably be a fun exercise to do. What I didn't realise is that it would be an essential educational process that I needed to go through to have any right to talk about this gigantic album with any credibility. I hope over the last 160-some episodes that I've built up enough of that credibility and that you'll enjoy digging into what I consider to be one of the very few perfect albums ever recorded. Having covered the rest of the discography up to this point, I now know that I couldn't have discussed this album properly had I started here rather than at the beginning. Having spoken to musicians and people connected with Tom's story, having read so many books, interviews and news articles, watched so many live performances, documentaries and conversations with Tom online, and having spent so much intensive time with Tom's music, I know that I simply wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for how important this album is to so many people. I wasn't ready for how important this album was to Tom. Had I jumped right in at Wildflowers, I would have missed the importance of John Scott in Tom's story. I would have missed the importance of Jeff Lynne in Tom's story. I would have missed the importance of Howie Epstein coming into the band and Stan Lynch leaving it. I would have missed the critical timing of Rick Rubin becoming involved in the project and having such an important impact on how the album would come together. Most of all, though, I would have missed the education I've received from the global community of fans that posted the many different Facebook groups that I'm part of. And of course, I would have missed the insights of the fantastic people who listen to the podcast. You. Some of whom have been gracious enough to join me on the show over these past couple and a half years. Without all of this context and a much deeper appreciation for the music and events that led Tom to Wildflowers, I truly believe that this podcast would have been short-lived and nowhere near rich enough to do justice to a period of Tom's career which he described as being at the top of my game in terms of craft and inspiration colliding at the same time. I think I've hinted a couple of times over the last few weeks that I wanted this season to be special and to build on what I do every week when I'm talking about individual songs in Tom's catalogue. Wildflowers has come to mean an awful lot to me, however, I'm not the only person for whom this album is a huge deal, so I figured that in addition to me talking about the music in each episode, I'd invite some of my friends, previous guests, and at least a couple of new voices to talk about the songs on this album and why they're important to them. Each week, a special guest will join me for a portion of the show to talk about their experiences with a particular song and about Wildflowers in general. You'll recognise most of the names that will appear this season as previous guests, and I wanted to thank each of them immensely for their willingness to come back on the show and talk to me about these songs in such insightful and deliberate ways. As a little inside baseball, I've already had several of these conversations, and I already know that having these additional insights into each song will add to the experience that I hope to bring you in this season of the podcast. Another slightly different format point for season 10 is that there will be no interruptions in the weekly song schedule. Unless I get hellishly sick for some reason or simply cannot record, my intent is for the next 15 Wednesdays to be focused on the songs from Wildflowers. Guest conversations will still happen, and I have some good chats lined up, but they will be released as bonus Friday/Saturday episodes rather than interrupting the flow of the season. At least a couple of recent guests will be coming back on to talk about upcoming or recent releases of their own, and a couple of those have already been out. And I also have some excellent Petty 8 guests lined up to come on and talk about Tom's deeper cuts. One other further point of clarification, we're only covering the album that was actually released as Wildflowers in 1994. I will be covering Wildflowers and all the rest at a later date, chronologically, once I get to it, and I'm really looking forward to digging into those demos and alternate recordings and songs that didn't make this phenomenal album. In the trailer for this podcast, way back in early August of 2021, I said the following. In doing some research for this podcast, I went back through my Facebook timeline to look for posts about Tom and found one from January 3rd, 2012 that simply reads, "Really into Tom Petty at the moment. Didn't realise he'd written so many solid albums!" It was a few more years, however, before the penny finally dropped all the way. I was under the misguided impression that the conventional wisdom about artists of this vintage was correct. Their early stuff is great, their later stuff usually sucks. Then I came across Wildflowers. I don't remember exactly what year this was, but my guess would be around early 2016. I could scarcely believe that this was the same songwriter who had put out such rowdy, frenetic records as those first three. Sure, there are muted moments on those first three albums too, but the breadth and depth of the songwriting and arrangements on Wildflowers blew me away. Not to mention how personal a lot of the songs seem to be. From the beautiful jangling intro of the title track, to the hard-rocking sultriness of Honey Bee, to the utter heartbreaking agony of Crawling Back to You and Hard to Find a Friend, I was utterly hooked. Now, I still feel that way to a degree, but I also now know that Tom didn't just accidentally or luckily end up at Wildflowers. He had to live, and he had to work hard to get to it. Tom was 41 years old when he entered the studio on July 20th, 1992, to begin work on the album that would become what many people, myself included, consider to be his magnum opus. It's worth remembering that 1992 was not the year of the singer-songwriter or the old-school rock and roller. 1991 had seen the release of Metallica's gigantic self-titled album known as the Black Album, a release that would go on to sell over 20 million copies. Guns N' Roses had released their ambitious, sprawling project User Illusion 1 and 2, and Skid Row became the first band to debut at number one in the SoundScan era with their sophomore effort Slave to the Grind, before they were knocked off top spot on the Billboard chart by Van Halen's Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. But all of these bands were about to be hit by the tidal wave that would become known as grunge. Nirvana flipped rock music on its head with Nevermind, and a whole new generation of kids were rediscovering music made with guitars, drums, and real voices. Nevermind, Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger, and Pearl Jam's 10 completely changed the game and signaled an end to the era of hair metal, among other subgenres. Meanwhile, in California, the Red Hot Chili Peppers hit the top 10 with their biggest album to date, and no doubt were about to break out with their self-titled debut. Also, a little band called Weezer was formed and recorded demos for what would go on to become their self-titled debut album. Moving into 1992, the Freddie Mercury tribute concert is the biggest musical event of the year, but the number one album slot on the Billboard chart was being dominated by Garth Brooks and Billy Ray Cyrus, while Def Leppard's Adrenalize was the biggest selling rock album of that year. These seismic changes in the direction of rock and roll music and chart music in general could partially explain the lower sales of 1991's Into the Great Wide Open, an album anticipated by MCA to top the sales of its predecessor, Full Moon Fever. With all this excitement and new music filtering into the charts and onto the radio, what's a 41-year-old traditional rocker supposed to do? ZZ Top had successfully redefined their sound in 1983 with the release of Eliminator, and U2 had completely reimagined their entire identity, moving away from a blues rock sound to release Achtung Baby at the end of 1991. Was Tom supposed to try and tap into the zeitgeist and chase the same trends? Musically, this would never have made any sense. Meanwhile, we also know that Tom's personal life during this period was not good. His marriage was on life support, and the fact that he would spend most of the next 2 years in the studio working, rather than dealing with his relationship with Jane, shows exactly how far things had declined. On top of this, Tom had a very unsettled, unhappy drummer. Stan Lynch's discontent with the direction the Heartbreakers were taking is well documented and added another layer of uncertainty and stress that could have forced any other artist to simply bunker down and do nothing. Instead, Tom threw himself completely into his writing. It's my belief that at no point during the creation of Wildflowers did the thought of a hit single come up. At no point did the word rebrand enter the conversation. And most of all, the idea of compromising or making a bad record or a stopgap record would simply have never been countenanced. Instead, Tom rode all these waves, used the momentum, and took that energy into the studio with a young hip-hop producer to reset and make the purest record he possibly could. Originally conceived of as a double album, Wildflowers would eventually be pared down to 15 eclectic, yet perfectly coherent tracks. Thankfully, we have since been treated to the full majesty of the songs that came out of these sessions with the exceptional Wildflowers and All the Rest release, and the even more exceptional Somewhere You Feel Free documentary. The pressures of grunge, middle age, and personal struggles combined at a perfect time to allow Tom Petty to write his masterpiece. Rather than looking outward, he did the best thing he could have possibly done, and looked inward. From that point on, he never once took a single creative step backward. He never once looked at current trends or chased the fashionable or easy route to chart success. Wildflowers showed him that as long as he wrote from the heart and told his own stories in his own voice, that his music would resonate and that people would come out in droves to see it played live. Wildflowers is the album that converted me from a casual fan to a Pettyhead and is, again, in my opinion, one of the most perfect albums ever recorded. I hope you enjoy this 10th season of the Tom Petty Project. Like the album, it's been a long time coming, and I really hope that I can do it justice. Tom Petty Project is a proud member of the Deep Dive Podcast Network. Go check us out on Twitter at Deep Dive Podnet. There's a ton of great shows there. You can also check out my other podcasts, Seaside Pod Review, a Queen podcast that I do with my best friend Randy, and the Ultimate Catalog Clash that I co-host with the hardest working man in podcasting, Corey Morissette, which we are currently talking about Foo Fighters on that podcast. So there's a link back there. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at The Tom Petty Project and on Twitter at Tom Petty Project. Go follow, like, subscribe as applicable, and again, please leave a review or a rating if you haven't done that already. Keep talking to me on social media. I do enjoy reading your comments and sometimes reading them on the show. And as a weekly reminder, the Tom Petty Project is not affiliated with the Tom Petty Estate in any way. And when you're looking for Tom's music, please visit official streaming platforms or go to your local independent record seller to grab some actual physical media. Fancy that, it was just record store day. So I went down to my local record store and spent a little bit too much money, but you know what? It all stays in the local economy, so I don't feel too bad about it. If you're looking for official merchandise, please go to tompetty.com. And if you're looking for merchandise for this show, please go to tompettyproject.com. Don't forget to check out the Tom Petty Nation and Tom Petty Fans Forever groups on Facebook. If you're not already a member, they're excellent fan communities and they're well worth checking into. Until we meet again next week, keep listening to and sharing Tom's music. Try to be kind. Try to say I love you to someone at least once a day. Stay safe and healthy, and I'll be back with you next week to talk about the very first song and title track from 1994's masterpiece, Wildflowers. Bye-bye.